Let's go out to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. Man, it's my lucky day. I get to talk to this gentleman for the second time in 5 days. He was on with me on my Sunday afternoon show, and now he's on with me again. I'm talking about the voice of the Pirates, Greg Brown. Hey, Greg, how are you today?
Cookie, I'm great, and likewise, what a treat, what a pleasure. It's my lucky day.
Well, news coming down yesterday, and you and I touched on this a little bit on Sunday, about the possibility, you know, out of safety concerns, they don't want the broadcasters at the ballparks. They're going to have you guys broadcast from, like, AT&T Sportsnet, do it virtually. Yeah, your thoughts on that and how it will impact what you do and how you do your job?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much we got into it, Cookie, but I think I said then that because of this situation, we're all going to have to adapt and be creative in almost every walk of life. And that's what we've had to do since the shutdown. So I'm looking forward just to working games again in any form. Obviously, ideally, you'd like it all to be back. I'd like the National League rules. I'd like to be playing 162 games. But we're all in the same boat, and we will do what we have to do and do the very best job that we can possibly do. And the people at AT&T Sportsnet, Doug Johnson, has been tremendous. Sean McClintock, and not only helping us and talking to us about how they can make it as comfortable as possible for us and listening to our ideas, but also to help on the radio side. They've been great partners with 93.7 The Fan and vice versa. And we're just going to do the very best we can. You know, we're going. This is going to be throwback stuff because, you know, for 20 years back in the 40s and 50s, guys like Rosie Roswell and Bob Prince for a time didn't travel, and they had to be creative. They would recreate games off the ticker. And so that's what we'll be looking forward to doing hopefully soon.
I should say, Greg, that this isn't a Pirates thing. This is baseball-wide. It's going to happen everywhere. Now, are you going to be able to go to PNC Park, or is this for all games?
Yeah, we'll go to PNC Park, as I understand it, and it is, you're right, it's a baseball-wide edict. They are going to minimize the number in a traveling party, and for that reason, no broadcaster will be traveling to road cities, but we will have access to those games with all the cameras and so on available. When the team goes on the road, we'll, for example, Wrigley Field, whatnot, we'll have those cameras available to us. We'll have our director, Pete Toma, cutting games, and we'll be able to call games on the radio side, Cookie, and this is going to be very new to us. In a sense, we will become directors as I see it. And nothing is etched in stone. There's still a lot of conversation happening. But as I see it and from what I'm hearing, they're going to set up a situation where we'll be in a studio watching all these monitors and trying to get the best angle for us to call these games, even on the radio side. We will be home at PNC Park calling the games when the Pirates are home. But on the road, we'll be calling games from AT&T Sportsnet Studios.
Now, how is this going to change what you do? Obviously, you have great relationships. Being on the road, I think, is a real part of building relationships with players, managers, coaches. And I know you're going to miss out on that part, and maybe this will just be a one-year thing. But, you know, how is it going to impact how you do your job?
Yeah, I guess we'll cross that bridge. I'll find out. I've been trying to get my mind set for this. And my daily routine, you know, when we're on the road, there are a lot of benefits to being on the road. I've said this for a long time because the distractions of home, which, you know, we always look forward to being home and around families and so on, but there's so much more involved, even when you go to the ballpark at home, where when you're on the road, you're in your own kind of cocoon. You're in your hotel room preparing for a ball game. You get to the ballpark, and you really actually do get an opportunity to talk to players for the same reason more often on the road. And so it will be different. I don't know yet. None of us knows how different and how we'll be able to adapt. We know we will, and do the best we can. We're talking about, for example, when we do our pregame shows on the radio, how will we do this? We'll be doing kind of Zoom meetings using just audio for the pregame, because we were looking forward to doing the Derek Shelton show on a daily basis. And so we're working with the engineers. Our director of broadcasting, Mark Gard, has been working tirelessly to try and, again, figure all this out and work with us and work with our rights holders and how we'll get this done. But it's going to be very different. You're right. The road has its advantages, and to a degree, because what I'm understanding, Cookie, is we're also not going to have as much access to players even when we're home. So it's almost like all these games will be road games for us to a degree, in that we really won't have much interaction, from what I'm understanding, being around the players even when we are home, because, again, they're going to try and restrict that access to only essential personnel.
My guest is Greg Brown of the Pirates broadcast crew. Greg, the million-dollar question, I guess the billion-dollar question is, are we going to have baseball? First of all, we're talking about what it's going to be like for you broadcasting games, but there's got to be games. And I know you're an optimistic person, but I'm just curious, how are you dealing with the emotions of this, the up and down? I feel it. One day I'm hopeful. The next day I'm thinking there's no way. And it's not much fun riding that roller coaster, is it?
No, and because of that, Cookie, the last couple of weeks I've really tried to stay away from it. I try and stay updated as best as possible. I use Twitter for that purpose, to kind of roll through the threads just to see if there is any news. And if I do see something, I take it, much of it, with a grain of salt, whether I see a quote from a player or something attributed to an owner. I just, in this day and age, people are looking for, you know, the stories. They want to be first. I understand all that. But I think a lot of times things get lost in translation. And I am, by nature, more of a positive person. And I just strongly believe, and especially from what I hear from guys like the team president, Travis Williams, Ben Cherington, Derek Shelton on your show recently with Joe. And I know you have him on a weekly basis. Just the way they're talking, it's as if they are preparing for something to begin in the next few weeks. So I just strongly believe that we're going to have something. It's going to be way different, but when all is said and done, I do believe the players and the owners, they really do want to play the game. And it's not as simplistic, in my opinion, to just throw out this idea it's millionaires versus billionaires. This is a very difficult thing. There's no blueprint for what we've been through. This is a major $10, $15 billion industry, baseball. And so it's not as easy just to suggest, oh, players and owners should just want to play. Yeah, I think they do. But it's just not as easy as saying that. And again, with a snap of a finger, you're going to just start playing baseball. And other sports have to go through this too, by the way, yet. And I think it's all well and good to think that, for example, I hear the NBA is going to start, you know, July 31st. They have all these things in place. Well, when we get closer to July 31st, we'll see how easy and smooth that is. Now, I think that goes with the other sports. Some sport is going to have to be the first sport to dip its toes in the water. Otherwise, nobody else is just going to easily follow. That's why it's also important, I think, that baseball does start, to allow the other sports to follow suit. Again, some sport has to be the first one to dip its toes in the water.
Greg, how many games makes for a legitimate season? I'm a believer, not 40 or 50. I think you got to play at least 82 for everything to be legitimate, but that's just me. I mean, do you crown a batting champion? What if somebody hits 400 in a 40 or 50 game season?
Yeah, but, you know, Cookie, 1981, they lost, 30% of the season, something like that. there were some teams who played, I want to say the Pirates played like 118 games. I had that figure recently. And other teams played 10 more. I think the Pirates played the fewest. The Giants, I think, played the most. The Cardinals and the Pirates played the fewest. The Giants played the most. 1981 was like that. And you know, when we talk about baseball history and baseball numbers and we discuss the 1981 season, I know we mentioned that was a strike year and it was a shortened season, but to my knowledge, in the official stats, there is no asterisk. And that was certainly a truncated year. Very different. So I don't know, you know, regardless of whether it's 50 to 100, it's not 162. So from this day forward, and from what I'm hearing, it's going to be way different because there is discussion that they will have the DH in the National League. I don't know if that's etched in stone. Other ideas of if there are doubleheaders, they'd play seven-inning doubleheaders. So to me, you throw all of it out and put a gigantic asterisk on 2020, whether it's 50 or 100 games.
Greg, before I let you go, I got to ask you about Chris Archer. I know you know him personally. Always struck me as a very, you know, a very respectful kid. My dealings with him, even in some tough times, and he had some tough times here, were always very cordial. Just sad news that he had to have surgery again and his loss for the year, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, it's terrible for him. It's terrible for the Pirates. You know, his future becomes a question mark. You know, I think he can. And I know that Todd Tomczyk, the Pirates' medical director, said this in his conference call the other day, that it's apples to oranges when you compare him to Nick Birdie, because the area of the nerve was different and the surgery was different. However, it was the thoracic outlet syndrome surgery, and Nick Birdie was throwing 100 miles an hour in spring training. So maybe he can take heart in that. But let's face facts, Cookie. Looking at the numbers, it is, to me, it's unlikely that they would pick up that option for next year. Maybe they decide they buy him out and he becomes a free agent. There's no law against, hey, talking to him and his representative and maybe trying to work out a deal where he comes back on a nice discount, because maybe he wants to prove to the Pirates and Pirate fans that he's a much better pitcher than he showed. You know, I could see that. You mentioned he's a very thoughtful guy. He cares, and you know, you wish the he's a good person, and you really wish the best for him. But as of now, it looks like a lost year, and kind of a lost Pirate career for Chris Archer.
And if this is it for him, Greg, you know, Neil Huntington made some great moves here and brought this team back after 20 years of losing. But this one won't go down as one of their better trades, will it?
Oh, I mean, without a doubt, it will go down. Talking to somebody about how trying to compare it to, which you hate to do, to be negative about the worst trades in Pirates history. But, you know, if the other guys continue along their path, and it's a long, long way to go, it will absolutely be one of the worst, certainly in the Neil Huntington era. And you're right, I'm a big fan of Neil's, but that might have been the one that broke the camel's back, unfortunately for Neil, a good man and a really good, one of the best general managers in Pirates history.
Well, you got to find somebody to take those innings, don't you? And we talked to Shelton about it the other day, and he said he thinks he has some candidates. But, boy, you're behind the eight ball already a little bit, Greg, because, you know, you don't have Jameson Taillon this year. And I truly believe that Chris Archer probably was going to be the opening day starter.
You know, that's the one thing about Archer, whether it was going to be Musgrove or Williams or Archer, whoever was the opening day starter, the one thing about him and his numbers, you know, it hard to believe, Cookie, in 2016, he lost 19 games. Someone mentioned that to me the other day, and I guess I had forgotten or maybe never wanted to look at it. He lost 19 games, which is hard to do in this day and age. And he was a pretty solid pitcher for Tampa Bay for about 3 years, the ERA of like 323, 333, but then going up after that every year, the ERA increasing. But the one thing about him, his he was an innings eater, and that's a big deal this day and age also. So, it's a big loss in terms of innings. The one thing I do remember about spring training 2020, the fact that when we discussed the pluses on the team, we talked about where the strengths of the Pirates were. I felt it was not necessarily the starting rotation, but boy, they had some bullpen arms that were so impressive. And we talked about how they weren't all going to make the team, but at AAA Indianapolis even, they were going to have depth because the bullpen was looking so much better this year. And so you talk about being creative and what Derek Shelton told you guys the other day. I could certainly see that, where you can be creative because you will have a number of strong bullpen arms that whether you use the opener or you piggyback. And I think Shelton's going to be a very creative guy. I'm looking forward to watching him actually manage. I think he's going to be, and I mean this in a positive sense, because I liked the way Joe Maddon managed the Cubs. I liked it. I thought he was unafraid. He had a lot of nerve, if you will, and willing to roll the dice and give Anthony Rizzo a second baseman's glove and bring in five infielders. I like that about Maddon. I think Shelton is going to be a lot like that. So he'll be creative and figure out ways to get innings from guys that are pretty strong.
Greg, twice in 5 days. I like this. We're going to have to do this again real soon. Okay.
Hey, Cookie, I sure hope so. And I look forward to seeing you in Bellevue before too long now.
We both go to the Lincoln Avenue Barbershop with Aaron Stubna. Greg, stay well, okay? Hopefully, I don't know what any of this season's going to be like for any of us, but hopefully I'll see you at the ballpark real soon.
I look forward to it, Ron. Thanks a million.